Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing a very important topic. It's a very massive topic, but we're just going to spend a little bit more time this evening on it, and then we'll move on. But the topic of the Chi Omrim Lo La'adam Chatei Bishvil Sheyizka Chavercha. Just to remind everybody what we were at, and we're not going to read over the Gemara again, but just the, you know, the background, and then the some of the Rishonim. We're in the middle, I think, of we're getting towards the end of what we're going to do. It's a massive, massive topic. The Gemara here discusses what happens if you put food in an oven, b'shogeg, on Shabbos. Either you didn't know that was prohibited, or you didn't know that it was Shabbos. Whatever it is, you made a mistake. You were involved in a shkaga, and you put food in the oven. If you leave it there, then it will cook or bake, and you'll violate one of the 39 avos v'lacha. And that, of course, is a very serious offense, as we know. You'll be chayev b'chatos because you did it b'shogeg. Had you done it b'mezid, you'd be chayev kares and possibly skila if you had asra. So the question is, there's an alternative, and that is the food can be removed from the oven. That's called redia sapas, literally scraping the dough from and removing it from the oven. But redia sapas is a violation. A drabanan, likely a lower drabanan violation. And the question is, are you allowed to, or is someone allowed to violate redia sapas in order to prevent more serious offense of one of the labetes of smalach? That is the question. So agab, the Gemara is trying to figure this out. Mostly the Gemara thinks that the question revolves around the conduct of the avarian. He put it in the oven, and the question is, does he have the right to do a lesser offense, b'kumbaseh, in order to prevent a greater offense, b'sheval, at this point at least, is b'sheval tas. And we've discussed all of that, the angles, redia sapas, the nature of bishul, kumbaseh, shavat, that we discussed already. Fine. However, the Gemara says at one point, maybe the issue is whether or not somebody else can intervene. That is, if Reuben puts the food on the oven, and he doesn't, he still doesn't know that he did something wrong. But Shimon sees that there's a problem. Can Shimon intervene, and can he do redia sapas in order to save Reuven from a greater violation? That's the question. So the Gemara, when it comes to that issue, says, "V'chi omrim lo la'adam chatei b'shvil sheyizka chavero." Do we ask Shimon to do an avera, even a lesser avera, in order to save Reuven from a greater avera? Meaning, every man, seemingly, if you read our Gemara alone, the impression you get is that even when it comes to averos, the rule is chayecha kodmim chaye chavercha. Meaning, self-interest or self-preservation, every man is an island, is the operative principle. That's the impression we get from our Gemara. However, logically, that isn't so obvious, because we have this very strong impression that Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh, whatever you want to call it, is a very powerful force in Jewish life. It's one of the things that we, I think, correctly think distinguish the Olam of Torah and the life of Kedusha, is that we not only believe in V'ahavta L'rayacha Kamocha, in theory and abstractly, but even when it costs us in terms of our ego, in terms of our pocketbook, and maybe even in terms of our spiritual comfort level, maybe even spiritual self-sacrifice. So the idea that Shimon might lessen Reuven's burden, and even if that means taking on something of his own, is not something which is at all absurd to us, and yet the Gemara emphatically rejects it. So what we saw last week was that it's not just a logical question, but there are indeed different sugyas, and there is indeed mixed evidence throughout Shas regarding this issue. The Gemara Neirvin says that the Gemara Neirvin records a debate about whether or not a chaver, a talmid chacham, should be mafresh trumas maestros min hamukaf, which is probably an isur drabanan, meaning when the tvua and the place from which he's being mafresh are not in front of him. You're not supposed to do that. Can he do that though in order to prevent an Ama Aretz from possibly violating the Isur Chamur Daraisa of Tevel? Right? Do we say Mutav Shiyavar Chaver Al Isur Kalila? right? Kedei, in order to save, Shiyatzil Amaretz mi Sura Chamura. So the Gemara records a debate, and it seems like we pask like Rebbe, who says yes. So just, you know, that's a classical, you know, dilemma. You have a Gemara here which is very emphatic in one way. You have a Gemara there which is less emphatic, because at least it's Machlokas, but we pask in the other way. So what is it? Is Judaism, you know, altruistic even to the point of, you know, spiritual sacrifice? Or is itself, you know, preservative, you know, in this respect? So this is the question. So what we saw last week, I'm not going to reread the Tosfos because we need to move on, but Tosfos themselves have basically at least three perspectives. And the first perspective, the first two perspectives that I'm going to mention are really the first and third in Tosfos, and they represent the two extremes. Right? The first extreme is that our Gemara in Shabbos is the Ikar Gemara. That's the rule. The rule is meaning Judaism says Chayecha Kodmim, your friend is very important, you should do a lot for him, you don't do Averos for him. That's where we draw the line. Even if it's an Avera Kala to prevent, you know, an Onesh or an Avera even that is even more Chamo. So our Gemara is the rule. What about the Gemara in Eruvin? The Gemara in Eruvin represents a case where the Talmud Chacham, the Chaver himself, has a level of responsibility for, or potentially for, the Am Haaretz's Mikshel. So it isn't that he's a third party, he's completely disengaged, and it's just a question of his, you know, responsibility as a member of the Jewish people. The Meiri goes as far as to suggest that really he's saving himself. Because if the Am Haaretz violates, it's really partly due to his own, the fact that he didn't clarify exactly what, or that he entrusted him, and therefore, in a way, it's not altruistic. It's basically, it's basically an internal calculus. He's saving himself, basically. That's how the Miri explains it. I don't believe that the Bali Tosfos go that far. I think what they're suggesting is that this is indeed altruistic, but what they're saying is your obligation to be altruistic, you know, will apply when you are part of the problem, when his mikshal is connected to you. At minimum, we don't look at it as, you know, every man being an island in that case. There's a certain connection. Once you're connected, so by virtue of the circumstances, and he's certainly not an onus or a poshea even, I mean, maybe an onus, not a poshea, then certainly that will be the key. That's the first perspective. The third perspective in Tosfos is exactly the opposite, where Tosfos basically says that our Gemara is the exception. The rule is maybe chatei kedesh yizke chaveru. Let's look at the greatest spiritual, the aggregate spiritual good of the people or of Kal Yisrael involved. And better, you know, Shimon with a zuta than Reuven with a rabbah. I'm talking about the Averos. Okay. However, our Gemara is different, and the Gemara is very emphatic that in our Gemara we wouldn't say it, for a very simple reason, and that is there's absolutely no justification whatsoever for Reuven having put food in the oven, other than his own callous ignorance, meaning he's obligated to know, you know, what day of the week it is. In other words, he should be careful about when Shabbos is. He shouldn't just be cavalier about the calendar when Shabbos is at stake. Moreover, he has the responsibility, it's a fascinating idea too, to be knowledgeable in Jewish law. He should know what the Lamed Tes Avos Melachos are. So in a way, what we're asking Shimon to do here is not merely step in and minimize, right, the collective breach. What we're asking him to do, right, is to sacrifice for someone who himself doesn't deserve sacrifice, who doesn't deserve that kind of regard, that kind of consideration. Yeah.
So maybe we have responsibility for his lack of knowledge.
Well, and how would that be?
Well, we didn't provide him with
Well, as far as we know, there's no connection between Shimon and Reuven in that respect, other than the fact that, you know, I mean, if Shimon was his, you know, sixth grade elementary school teacher, you know, then maybe it would be comparable to the Chubas of Meisra's case. But we're just talking about somebody walking by and seeing that, you know, there's food in the oven, or that Reuven put food in the oven, you know, he doesn't necessarily have anything to do with, you know, with anything, you know, connected to the Stella's education. I mean, if he did, it would be a coincidence.
No, but we have a collective responsibility.
Well, we do. I mean, that's, you know, the Rambam very dramatically tells you that, you know, one of the things that a community has to. I mean, we know the story from Yehuda, right, in Goshen. You know, when they scouted out Goshen, the first they sent Yehuda ahead, according to Chazal, and he set up the yeshiva there. So of course the community has a responsibility. But you know, this individual, it's not like the whole community doesn't know this. This individual didn't, he didn't take it seriously. So that's what Bali Tosis aside. Now the question is,
how is this different from the Amoraim and Meruvim?
Yeah, because that's a good question. The assumption here is that this is maybe that the other one thought that the Trumas and Isis had been taken. Somehow, it doesn't really matter to me so much how they know it, but they're assuming that that's more of a mixture, and this is more of a,
general rule, they're not Trumas
Meishas. Because they rely on others. Maybe they shouldn't, though. But the question is, why isn't that also kind of a pshia? That's the question. It's a good question, but for some reason, the Bali Tosfos think that it's not. In terms of these two models, what emerges is you have two basic texts, or many more, and you have two, this is a classic, you have two views of the Bali Tosfos, which is the rule and which is the exception, assuming that there should be a single rule and that everything else is an exception. The third perspective in Tosfos is that the matter is not so simple. In other words, we could argue, we could see the altruistic basis, for somebody, intervening even at his detriment on behalf of someone else. We can understand that. We can also understand the concept of Chayecha Kodmin. We can see it, it's dialectical, you might say. There's reason, to think of both of these perspectives. But if that's the case, so then there are several other options. One is, well, maybe it depends on the benefit and the cost. You know, like many things where you can see both sides. Sometimes wholesale you'll just say, no, you don't do A for B, or you always do A for B, or sometimes you'll say, well, the devil is in the details. It depends, how bad is A and how good is B, or how bad is A and how bad is B in this particular case. So that's what the Bali Tosfos seem to say when they say that if there's a mitzvah rabbah, shiny. Puri of Arivia is a mitzvah rabbah. Making a minyan, for the Beis HaKnesses, that's a mitzvah rabbah, and so on. So the answer to the question, do you say Chayecha Kodmin when it comes to Averos or not, is it depends. What are you preventing? And what are you sacrificing for that prevention? And whether that formula is quantitative or qualitative is not clear. And exactly what that formula is, how much benefit versus how much cost is not clear. Clearly, benefiting more than costing isn't enough, because all these cases are that, right? So how big a discrepancy, or is it qualitative? What's going on there? I wanted to suggest something else for Tosfos, and that was, that especially once you have the Beis HaKnesses idea, and possibly instead of saying mitzvah rabbah, mitzvah derabim about Piri Varivya, maybe the difference isn't, how much benefit against how much cost. The question is, what type of mitzvah are we dealing with? If we're dealing with a mitzvah or an aveira of yechidim, primarily, so then the rule is, chayecha kodmim l'chaye chavercha. But if we're dealing with a kind of mitzvah or aveira which has repercussions beyond the individual, meaning they themselves are tzibur-oriented mitzvos, Korban Pesach, we talked about Tosa Rosh, the role of the Kohanim and the Mikdash, the Beis HaKnesses, right? Piri of Arivia, which is not only mitzvah rabbah, but maybe the ultimate mitzvah dirabim in a way, because it's about populating the world on one level and populating Klal Yisrael on another level. So whenever we deal in the aggregate, it's with the tzibor, with rabim, so then the cost benefit is just, it's basically easy to calculate. You're always going to do the kalila in order to safeguard against the rabbah. The problem is when each man is an island unto himself, because we're not dealing with a tzibur-oriented din. We're dealing with a, you know, two yachids. Why should Shimon have to give up even a klila in order to save Reuven from a rava? So that might be another way to explain some of the distinctions in the Gemara. Another perspective, once that becomes the case, and I'll take the question, is the perspective of the Ritva, who basically says that maybe there are two different issues that we need to discuss. One is when are you, or whether you are, obligated to sacrifice spiritually for your friend. The other is, are you permitted to sacrifice for your friend? Now, most Rishonim do not make this distinction here, and in general, as I think I mentioned, it's rare to find choice in this kind of a normative, test, you know, where you're basically weighing, you know, the pros and the cons, because normally this is decisive, or we think that there's going to be a decisive answer. The Ritva, both in Shabbos and in Erevin, says what the Gemara here says is Ein Omrim LaAdam Chatei Kadesh Yizka Chavero. It's not fair for us to impose this on someone else. What the Gemara in Erevin says is if the guilty Chaver wants to feel badly and wants to save the Amaretz, he has the right to do that. And as I mentioned, we do find this in other areas of halacha, rarely, but I think a great example of it is, although it can be mechalek, is the question of safek, being machnis atzmecha safek pikuach nefesh, in order to save a badai pikuach nefesh, which some posts can say is not a chiyuv, but it's not an iser either. Now, some will think it's a chiyuv, some think it's an iser, and some think that it's a rishos. That's up to you. You have the right to make that call. The idea of some gray area of choice, given that we can understand and appreciate both sides of the equation, is something which makes a great deal of sense. Agav, we also noted that the Rishonim, when they talk about this whole topic, it becomes a window not only into their view of Kol Yisrael Arevim and so on, which is such an important halachic and philosophical issue, and we could just elaborate much, much, much more, but also into each individual case. In other words, what's the nature of Piri V'Rivia? What's the nature of, you know, how much, you know, how far should you go to create a minion? What is the nature of the Yisra La'olam Bahem Savodu in freeing an Eved? Is it just doing it gratuitously, or is it really a hardcore Yisra? And so on and so forth. The nature of, you know, the Kohen and his role in the Mikdash. In other words, how we resolve these apparent discrepancies also ends up being an opportunity to fine-tune our understanding and our appreciation of the halachic, you know, several halachic categories that come up. Yeah, now there was a couple of questions.
Whether it might not also differ in the nature of the person who is doing the tzala. In the case of the Erevin case, we're talking about someone presumably was very few averos, and maybe one little avero or not.
That's an interesting point.
His spiritual
equilibrium.
Right.
It's an interesting point. I'm not aware of anybody who suggests that. But I think it's an interesting.
Now it's on the table.
I hear it. I would be surprised to find it, but I think it's an intriguing idea. So I'd like to think more about it. I wouldn't dismiss it for sure. I think it's intriguing. I'm a little suspicious that we are not going to find it. Well, I mean, I've looked mostly, so. But what I mean, even if I didn't look, just because I don't think we generally, find those kind. You know, the halakha is very democratic. You know, we wouldn't find it in the other direction for sure. Now, the idea that he has a pristine record, he's a Talmud Chacham, he shouldn't sully his hands. But you know, your regular, that for sure you won't find. I mean, the person who, you know, it's the. You know, you have to do pikuach nefesh. You know, it's the Talmud Chacham who's first in line. So that's I think, just very contrary to the spirit of halacha. But you're suggesting the opposite, and for the reason of kol echad roa satzmo, something, you know, beinoni. I think it's very intriguing. I think it's kind of against the more egalitarian aspect of the halacha not to make those kind of distinctions. But I think it's an intriguing. Something to think about.
So. And you would have that same issue in terms of the suffix, pikuach nefesh, like who should jump in?
Again, I don't. There, I think even more so, you won't find it. But because you know, you get into like you won't find, for example, my chazi the dama the dach suma ktvei. When you know we say, oh, your nobody's blood is redder than anybody else's, or ben pturin rabbi ki. No one's going to say, you know, who's a bigger tamachah in that respect. I mean, you do have it in Horius when you know you can only save one person. Right. That's a different story though. But in terms of chayecha kodmin. Or Yehoreg Val Yavor, you won't find. And there are reasons for that.
There is a hierarchy. Manti Tamachachim is
coded. That's part of the Chumrat Tamad Horios. But that's a different story. That's when you can be Matzil only one person. That's different than sacrificing one person for another person. Because if you proactively have to pick one, so then, you know, other, for example, we also find by Pidyon Shuyim that some Rishonim say, that you know the rules are more relaxed in terms of you know being limited, you know for tamacha. But the idea is not because he has more. There, the idea is certainly not because he has intrinsically more worth at all. It's just that you know, it's the needs of the community for talmidei chachamim as you know adds greater urgency, you know to that calculus. Yeah. But usually, in terms of value, like axiologically, in other words, value of people, you rarely find such a thing. And I wouldn't expect to find it here either. Yeah.
What would be if the relationship is different, the father-son, Rebbe Talmud, Talmud Rebbe, where there's more to ever...
So that's a really interesting question, too.
That the Ritva is saying that you're just going to save him from the money of a chata. Let's say your son is going to use your credit card to pay the chata.
I hear that. Normally we don't find it. But, and again, if we did find it, I would think... We do, for example, I'll give you the issue again of Pidyon Shvuyim. In Pidyon Shvuyim... We do find that you can that the laws, but that's for you know, pidyon shvuyim. The part of the problem is the limitations. What I'm referring to is the Gemara says in Gittim Mishum Tikkun Olam that you know you can only be podes shvuyim ad chomesh. You know, a fifth you know range within the going ransom you know rate. But the reason for that is as a deterrent, because otherwise you keep encouraging you know more and more. And unfortunately, we know all about this in our time. In hostage taking and so on, and that's a very difficult thing. However, the Gemara seems to say that you can be poda yourself, and then the Rishonim Bali Tosfos already discussed. Well, what about your wife, and what about your son? Right. In other words, maybe, and I think the idea is that even though you know, for something to be effective, you know, for safeguards to work, they have to be across the board. They have to be low plug. But the point is that when the tzibor, as a tzibor, has to contemplate what to do, then there are rules. You know, what I might say is if it's just me, you know, so and not the tzibor, or it's within my family, then the question is where you draw the line, it's not a tzibor issue. You know, so in a way, what you're saying, it's like all in the family. It's, you know, it's a family issue. That the Ritva might you know, have an opening for such a thing is possible. But I think it's also very intriguing. I haven't seen it, but...
Like, you could say that you're responsible to teach your son. So if your son is not acting properly, it's your responsibility.
I mean, like what was said before about the community, but it's true about your son. Again, I haven't seen it, but I think it's an interesting... These are interesting suggestions. Yeah.
So is there a paradigm for this with the Parah Aduma?
Parah Aduma.
Well,
I mean...
Think about it. You have a mitzvah... to do something in your matame yourself.
Well, becoming tame isn't an avera.
Right.
Number one.
For me, it is.
It is.
For me, it's going.
No, tumas neis, tumas neis.
Okay.
Yeah, but not the tuma of
paraduma. That's only because that's the way that we're trained to look at. That's the way.
What do you mean trained to look at?
Yeah, that's right. The way the Torah looks at it. That it's a mitzvah for the Kohen to do this, even though he's b'tamei himself.
But you know what I'm saying? I think I have 2 points. Number one, for the record, meaning the only thing that a Kohen is warned against or is prohibited is to have tumas neis. Right. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah of or the methodology of paraduma. Right, there's no iser for a coin to become tamei sheretz or to tumazov or anything like that, right? So that's number one. So that's not a good paradigm. But I think, you know, the idea is an interesting idea, but it isn't. It's far short of an Aveira, number one. And number two, the second point that you made then kicks in also. That's part of the Hagdara of what it means to prepare a Par Aduma. Now, again, you might want to ask yourself why that is, hashkafically. I mean, what's the message of, you know, Metame Tmei Metaher Tahorib? It's a very powerful thing. Like, well, what's the point of that? But it isn't exactly... It's not volitional, and it's part of the Hagdara, and it isn't an Iser, so it's sufficiently different not to be a paradigm. But it is something to think about, meaning it's a...
Could you just touch up a few words in the Tosis?
Okay.
What does Revol want? What is he inferring? The Filo Mad Bigatsma and Lisha Bisham Mahatur. How would you...
No, that, we discussed that already several times. Even the guy himself, when he says, but... He says, you might get the impression from the Gemara in Erevin that the fellow, well, we're talking about somebody else.
Right.
But if it was he himself, he could surely pick the Zuta over the Chamura. He says, but that's not true here either, because here there's another factor, and that is, there's a Kumbasei Sheval Taisa business.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Is anybody framed, or could be framed, akin to a Chulia versus Hooker situation, whereby looking at Kodesharo Rebens and Elzeh, with some chiefness as a more powerful imperative, and therefore the entire Kosovo Avera is.
Well, I think we discussed it the last time. Koisal Remzel is a principle.
Right, I understand.
But it's not a mitzvah.
Right.
Meaning there's no, it's not ase no chalos ase. There's no.
Of course. But, in other words, in the sense of, in one case, we only allow him to do it, to be over here.
Yeah.
And we allow him begrudgingly, so to speak, it implies that he's having. Over something.
So that's also a question. It's not so clear. Like, let's say according to the views, or in the cases where Shimon does intervene and he violates a kala in order to prevent Reuven from doing the chamura. So does he really have this kala on his record? Does he get an onesh for it?
Right.
It's very unclear in the Gemara, to be honest. Especially, I mean, the permanent record in the Rabbona Sholem's court, you know, we certainly don't know about. So I suspect, if the answer is yes, that's an incredible thing. If the answer is no, so what's the fuss? The answer is, the fuss is the same fuss of the Gemara's, you know, discussion here, which is still, I mean, should he be doing a Maisa Aveira? I mean, and that's a very powerful Yerushalayim point. Meaning, in this whole sugya, one of the things that emerges is, even if there's no onesh, right, and even if you're not, you know, getting punished for something, right, to do an aveira from person is a very traumatic thing that he should be avoiding. So quite as part from, you know, even if there's no consequences.
There's a story that the Rav once, either a yotzer or a shabbos, hit a light switch by accident.
Misasek.
Right,
that's Misasek, you know.
Yeah,
right, I'm saying Misasek may not even be a Maisa Aveira, but... So, in a way, that's a very, you know, the Yerushalayim part of that is very inspiring, and in a way, that's what our Gemara is about, according to many Rishonim anyway. As you remember, in other words, the Gemara, that's what Tosa says, and if you know, you're going to tell the guy, don't do Radiyah Sapas, right? And he's going to march himself to the gallows. So Tosa's answer is no. He'll be pater mishimones. So then the next question is, he'll be pater mishimones. So what's the big deal? The answer is he still should be doing it by Maisa Aveira, right? Because we live in such a pragmatic world that we tend to think that, you know, if you're not getting punished for it, or if it's not entered in your permanent record, you know, in a particularly, you know, red ink or something, so what's the big deal? You know, you got away with it, so it's fine. Or they're letting you get away with it. But, you know, when you think, you know, metaphysically, I guess, it's, I did Kilo Shabbos, assuming it's not Hutra Legabri. Right. So let's assume it's not Hutra Legabri.
You have to get Malchus Martyrs here.
What's that?
How do you know he's not taking Malchus Martyrs?
Who?
The guy that does the Ridia Sapas to save his friend from...
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. I'm just saying, if he's supposed to do it, it's probably not worse than the onus of Tosfos. Tosfos says even on the Daraisa you don't get it. I think if you do the Avera Daraisa, if you do the Avera, which you started Daraisa, and you're getting a Pteronis in that case, I would assume that you're Kavchomer, if you're the ones who are telling you to do it. I'm not 100% sure. I believe it or not, they don't talk about it. Okay. What?
What's the problem? You're doing it to save the other guy, not knowing.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I made such a suggestion about Rudi Asapas or Rabbeinu Hanano, but mostly if somebody does something consciously, even with a purpose, it probably is Malach Machshava. I suggested for the Rabbeinu Hananel about Rudi Asapas. Rabbeinu Hananel seems to say here that it's Lisha. So the question is what? He's doing Lisha to make sure he doesn't do Afiyah. So I suggested that maybe the benefit is because he's doing Lisha to prevent Afiyah. The other guy just did Afiyah. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So how do we paskin in this question? So this is what we're at the end. There's a lot more here, but I just want to show this is a great example of this issue gets discussed for halacha. And what happens here is two things. Number one, it gets further developed, right? All the great Rishonim and then Poskim are weighing in on this issue. You here in the room, we had some very excellent and intriguing suggestions. So you can imagine that they did as well, and different cases. And the issue keeps getting developed and evolving and rippling across the system, as I like to say. So in this respect, the Rajbo was asked a question. I mentioned it last time, but we didn't get a chance to really analyze it. So this is Tshuvas HaRajba on page 2 of 3. Chelek Zayin Simen Reish Samach Zayin. And it says here, if you'll see in the parentheses or through the pluses, that this Tshuva is also quoted by the Beis Yosef in Simen Shinvav. Od Nishal Be'isha Shehotziua Mibesa, right? B'Shabbos B'Chazka Yisrael. So basically, they tried to kidnap this Jewish girl. This Meshumad tried to kill the Jewish girl, to kidnap the Jewish girl. To take her into a non-Jewish environment. That sounds pretty serious, right? And the question is, in muta l'shloch ba'adavia shehi be'erach heres b'Shabbos. The whole thing is fascinating, you'll see. So this is a question. In other words, can you violate initially the question is, can you violate the tchum to tell the father so he'll be able to prevent this terrible thing? Can't imagine, much worse happening. Right, than this young girl being abducted, right, where she, is going to be indoctrinated into a different religion. Wow. Tchum Shabbos, right? It's shocking a little bit. But, Shiloh is a Shiloh, and also if you're serious about the halacha, then you have to know what the halacha is. Yikav Adin Sahar, right? So what's fascinating is that the Rajba originally, what? No, they had different views. I mean, the Machlokas were shown about a Paskin, whether Tchum Shabbos Doraisa. Okay, I mean, so he's saying, not just the 2000 Amma, right? 2000 Amma might probably draw Banan, but Gimel Parsos is more, so that's Doraisa. The man should Tchum Gimel Parsos Doraisa. Oh, so what's this? Miyabaka Safik Nefoshos Elohakan Allah. So initially, the Rajva's question, the way it's framed is, well, that's like Sufik Nefashis Lahaka. That's very fascinating. Spiritual Pikuach Nefesh. Now, we're very familiar with this idea. It's very easily with us, but there's no Gemara that speaks about spiritual Pikuach Nefesh. I don't know if this is the first reference or not, but basically, this is the Rajba's Sufik. Now, if it's Sufik Pikuach Nefesh, right, if spiritual pikuach nefesh is pikuach nefesh, then this has nothing to do with chatei kedeshiyus kachaveira, because pikuach nefesh is docha everything except, you know, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shvichus hametz, certainly docha Shabbos. So basically, the Rajba's first suffix is about this fascinating issue of spiritual pikuach nefesh, right? Okay.
No,
then he says, that's not what he's saying.
She refuses to accept, and they're
I don't think that's what he means. That doesn't seem like that's what he means. The Heshiv, Shadavar, Tzaruch, Talmud. Well, we are ready, because, again, we're conditioned. Rashi is going to say, Avada. You know, what are you talking about? Don't waste a second. Rashi says, we have to think about this. Then he says, Umikomakom kach dati nota she'asur v'she'ein dochen es ha-shabbos al hatzala minu averos. Apparently came to the conclusion that this isn't sufficiently pikuach nefesh, because otherwise there's nothing to talk about. And now he's weighing it in terms of being doche Shabbos, right, for hatzala minu averos. What about chil Shabbos versus shmad? Not as suffik pikuach nefesh, right? Mm-hmm. So now that becomes kind of our sugya. In two senses, though. Number one, in all the range of things that we saw, what's the exception? What's the rule? Are we mostly spiritually altruistic, except pekshia, mezid, or are we mostly spiritually, you know, self-preserving, except? Or does it depend on the, you know, whether it's a mitzvah tzibur or a mitzvah yachid, or does it depend on the benefit cost, right? Or is it up to you? All the issues that were theoretical a minute ago are no longer theoretical, right? Now, part of this, of course, is also to assess chilul Shabbos versus safek avodah zarah. Right? Again, if it was pikuach nefesh, none of this would be relevant. Okay, so what does the Rajba say about this? She'ein omrim la'adam amod v'chato kedei she'iz k'chavercha. V'afilu yisur zuta lo shori kedei lahatzel z'chaver misur rabba k'debucha perakam v'deshabes v'bayi lahadbik pas betan or hitir lordosa konim shavad v'chiv chato salo amrav sheshas li'olam b'shogeg v'laman netiru le acher tchiyam lo adam amod chato kedeshiyiska sorry chaverecha vahid nichal and the mevid chavero yisur azuta v'levid yisur rabba amaretz hayado kamar adkan. So basically, Rajba was mistafek about suffik pikuach nefesh. Once he decided that this isn't sufficiently suffik pikuach nefesh, I guess because maybe they won't, you know, be successful, or maybe she'll be choseres. Or that's not called pikuach nefesh, it's just called avodah zarah, just whatever it is. So then the question became, okay, what about chadei? Should the father be, or somebody else, be mechal Shabbos, right? Here you were asking me about the father and son, father, but here it isn't the father, no. It's him to inform the father. I don't know whether it would make a difference, but I said the question was asked, the father found out about it, is he allowed to, you know, be mavir the tchum in order to save his daughter?
He called it a device, then.
What?
He called this a device.
Well, because it's tchum.
Yeah, and we have Rudiya Sapas was only with the Rabbana.
No. But Rudiya Sapas was in order to save Afia Doraisa.
I understand.
So that's the same thing. Here it's two Doraisas, but
there are two devices. I mean,
and there's a drug. Even are you saying even
the device?
You can't even do a
rabbanon. You can use the process, not doing the device.
No. You can't do a rabbanon to save a Doraisa. Then you certainly can't do a Doraisa to save a Doraisa.
In that case, yes.
That's what the Rajma is saying. The Rajma is saying even in Shabbos, which is doing a rabbanon to save a Doraisa, you don't allow. So we're going to allow doing a Doraisa to save a Doraisa. Right?
Yes.
So the answer is no. Right? That's a remarkable thing. Yikov Adin Sahar. He's learning from the Sugya. The Beis Yosef disagrees.
Yes.
So look at the next piece. Orchaim, Beis Yosef Orchaim Shinvav. You can skip down till Adkan Lashonot, that's line 38. right? Here he just reverses the order. If you look at the beginning of line 38, this is the Rajba really said Talmud in the beginning after he was wondering whether it's Safek Pikuach Nefesh, right? And then in the end he said what he said. But either way, okay. But Tosus Kosvu, so then the Beis Yosef adds, Tosus Kosvu, Parakamad Shabbos, Bitchila Kedevea Rajba, says, yeah. It's true, Tosus in Shabbos starts off like the Rajba ends. Namely, that the rule is Chayecha Kodmim, and the exception is Eruvin. But, V'achakach, Hikshu Minitzan Degitin, Mishachatsiyavu Dukhatsim Ben Chorin, Kofin Esrabo, V'ososa Ben Chorin, V'kamil and Kolim Shakras Abd Overbasei. And this is the Tosus part, the middle part of Tosus. He starts asking from other cases. You Mishachor the Eved to take the minion, right? You Mishachor the Eved to give him Piri Verivya, the Tirtzu the shiny Piri Verivya to Mitzvah Rabbahi. What do we see from there? That instead of saying the rule is never unless you're responsible, it's up in the air. It depends on the Chomer Hadvarim, the Ode. Yeshloma. Then Tosus end up with a third answer where he said that the rule is what? That we're altruistic the other way. We're always altruistic unless the guy is a poshea, in which case we're not going to bail him out. Right? He didn't do anything wrong. You see what's going on here. Beis Yosef says, listen, I read the Rajba. The Rajba is based on the first teretz of Tosus. But if you look at the Balei Tosus, they themselves give two other terutzim, right? Whose implications for this important question are opposite of the Rajba. And if you look around Shas, right, Tosus is machria all over Shas, not like the first answer, but like the second and the third answer. The Hashta, therefore, what are the implications? This isn't just a theory. This is a hardcore, can't imagine more, you know, torturous Psak Halacha issue. The Hashta, im the Terutz of the Mitzvah Rabbah, Hadavar Barash Enucha Mitzvah Rabbah Milat Sila. If it's a question of cost benefit, says the Beis Yosef, She'enucha Mitzvah Rabbah Milat Sila Shego Yafkidua Ad Shetishtame. Not sure whether everybody will agree with that, but it's Shabbos, violating Shabbos versus Shmat. Right? So Beis Yosef says, I think the Shmad outweighs it. But I think what he means, does he mean it per se about Azara versus Shabbos? That's a toughie, right? But Azara is Yehorig Vayavar, Shabbos is not. That's, you know, one way to look at it. But Mumer L'Chalas HaShabbos, Mumer L'Chal Torah Kula, you know, the special status of Shabbos and other, the you know, Beinu Beimidei Solo Sinei Olam, words of the, I mean, basically the Rambam in Perek Lamed Hilchos Shabbos, the last words of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos are basically about the almost equation between Avodah Zarah and Chilul Shabbos, right? So in terms of Mitzvah Rabbah, a tough one, right? Unless you add in a kind of Chalel Shabbos Achas, right, to prevent her from Kadesha, you know, from being Mechalel many more Shabbosos when she's a Mishumedes. But he didn't say that yet, the Beis Yosef. We'll get to that in a minute. Then he adds, the Imat Terutza, the Mechalek, the Impasha, according to the third answer of Tosus, where the rule is spiritual altruism, Achanami Lo Pasha. Right? She didn't do anything wrong. She's a little kid. She's a victim. What would happen if the same Shiloh is being asked to the rabbi when she's going on her own? Right, this person has proclaimed their interest in you know leaving the fold, Can you send for, you know, the person who can talk him out of it on Shabbos or not? Right? So that's not a situation where the first person is a victim. But, you know, if it's a question of mitzvah rabba, mitzvah zuta, or a kind of spiritual pikuach nefesh, or chalel Shabbos achas kadesh tishmar Shabbos harbe, meaning you look at that way, you still might paskin that you could do it, right? It's a very interesting issue. Hachanami lo pasha. V'hilk, 1 second. L'chalel leos haShabbos l'fakeh achaleha shari. This is the Vichelsa's conclusion. U'mitzvah nami ika. Not only is it permissible, it's obligatory to mitzvah. V'ilo boi l'mevet kaifinale. And it's enforceable. And then he adds, so far we've been talking about the tchum if it's minat Torah. There are worse things on the tchum, even if it's minat Torah, it's not one of the lamites of us malacha. Right? Even the lamites of us malacha? Vafil l'chal Shabbos, maybe that's what he meant before that, about a zara. And tchum, right, which isn't even a chi of misa, Avodah Zarah is worse. What about Avodah Zarah and Shabbos and Malacha? Ba'afil l'chal u'Shabbos v'dor ma'asur min ha'Torah nira d'shaper dami d'legabe d'lo tishtame v'tavar kol yameha chilul Shabbos. Now he brings in, right? Chalel, you know, Kadesh Tishmar. Amrin on Isura Zutahava. Now what does he mean by this? So does he mean to say, oh, part of what defines Isur Zutar, Isur Rabba, is the relative also, right? Relative to what you're doing and relative, you know, what you gain, what you lose.
Consequences.
Or is this more specific about, you know, Chil Shabbos Chalel Kadei Shetishmar? Now, do you say Chalel Kadei Shetishmar, which is a kind of a pragmatic, you know, aggregate perspective? Do you only say that in Shabbos? Or will you say that in general? I mean, the Rambam quotes Chalel Kadesh Tishmar as the example of, you know, when he tries to explain Eis Lasos Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. You know, and they had to write down Torah Shebal Peh. It's like Chalel Shabbos Achas. Right? Not limited to Shabbos. Or is it a din limited to Shabbos? Do we even paskin that way? It's a view in the Gemara. The question is whether we really paskin that way. Also, even if it is a Shabbos, would you consider it a Shabbos halacha if the reason that he was going to be mechalel Shabbos Harbe is because not he's losing his life, but because he's a mishumad? Right, he could always volunteer, he could always choose to be shomer Shabbos. So there are a lot of chidushim in applying, if we are applying, this concept here. Maybe that's not what the Beis Yosef has in mind. But you'll see in a minute that the Magen Avraham, when he quotes this Beis Yosef, quotes it as if it's Kalel Shabbos Achas Kedesh Tishmar Shabbos Harbe. In one of the three ways that I just mentioned, obviously, but it's not 100% clear in the Beis Yosef. Yeah. Yeah, usually.
Here is also expanding.
Right, right.
Yeah.
True, true. Also good. Also good point. Okay, so if you look at the Shulchan Aruch,
that's not necessarily the father, does it?
What? No. Well, we'll see in a moment, but that's what we were talking about before. Presumably not. The Shulchan Aruch, yeah, presumably not. Misha Sholcholo Shotzio Bito Mibeso B'Shabbos, right? Shin Vav Sifya Dalet. Lohotzio Mechlal Yisrael, this question. Get it to Tshuvas HaRashba. Beis Yosef was dealing with it. When he came to write his code, so he codifies it. Mitzvah Lasum L'derech Pa'amav L'Hishtadel B'Hatzalasa. And then he adds, V'yotze Afilu Chutz L'Gil Parsos V'ilo Boi Kaifin Amlay. He doesn't mention the other Chil Shabbos's, right? It's hard to know what to make of that, right, in light of the Beis Yosef phrasing it. But he does mention at least the Kaifin Amlay. Now, if you look at the Ramah says, Ayein L'Kaman Simin Shin Chavches Sifyud. Okay. The Ramah says to look, we look. So look at the next one. Okay, the first part is Kol Choli Sharofim Omrin Shu Sakana Afisho Basa Mibachutz Mechalin Halavas HaShabbos, Rofei Echad Amar Tzarech, Hafei Chomer An Ata Tzarech, Eino Tzarech rather, Mechalin, Yesh Misham Shein Tzarech Mumchev, Chal Bnei Adam Chashuv Mumchev Mekzat, Safek Nefar, there are issues of Safek Nefar Shas Lahak. Fine. So then the Ramah says, V'yeh Shomrim Dafki Yisraelim, Avostam Eni Huda Shein Rofim Lo Mechassinos Abikiyin. Fine, that's not for now. Misha Rotsim La'anso Sheyavar Avera Gedola, says the Ramah. Somebody wants to pressure somebody to do a big Avera. Ein Mechal and Olav HaShabbos Kedei La'atzilo. Ayin La'el Simen Shinvav. Be'sil Sif B'Shem HaRajbo. So is this the Ramah saying that I paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, against the Beis Yosef? Or is he just saying, I paskin like the Beis Yosef in that case, but don't get carried away? Right? It's hard to know. What does he mean? La'anso sheyavar avera gedola. Does he mean avodah zarah? If he means avodah zarah, it sounds like he's going back to the Rajbah. But he doesn't say that. Right? So the look at the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham sif katan chotes chutzigil parsos line 21. Afilu mandamer da habda raisa shari de lagabe shelotamer, meaning meshumed hamara the tabid koyamel chilu shabbos havaze isura zuta the mutav lechalal shabbos achas kedusha tishma shabbos asharbe. He's quoting the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef did not say that, as we noted. Although it's easy to interpret that that's what he meant. Right? Clearly, the Magen Avraham interpreted the Beis Yosef that way. That this is based on the idea of Chalel, meaning Chalel isn't just limited to internal Shabbos or to internal one person. Right? And that we accept this idea, l'halacha. Okay. That's point number one. Then he adds, "Im kain, im rotsim la ansa la vera cheres." Is how he reads the Rama. Not that the Rama is disagreeing. Let's say some other big avera that they want to force you to do. Afilo lavad avad azara pam achas, not to make you mishumad, right? But pam achas, ein mechalin alel shabbos b'malacha doraisa. Right? Why? The Mechal Shabbos, Ka'ovet Avodah Zarah, Kedisa Be'erevin, U'Bechulin, the Shabbos Chamir Avodah Zarah. Okay? So this is, now it's already, he's like, we're working with the middle view, or whatever, you know, you have to have a cost-benefit justification. You know, why should you be Mechal Shabbos to save a single Maisa Avodah Zarah? There's no Kedesh Tishmar Mishabbos Asharbe, because it's not permanent. Right? The Tzorchian Minale Zelmash Kosov Ramah, right? La'ayin Besimin Shin Chavches Sifyud. Then he adds, Habach Kosov, the Hachamayri Kishachoshishin Sheyavchidu Shatamer, the Hachamayri Sherotsim La'ansa. The difference is, in one case, they're trying to scare her into becoming a non Jew, and there, they want to force her. And the Ainzu Avera Kokach, the onus rachmana patre, wow, other factors. Let's say they're going to force her or whoever to do an avera ba'onus, right? So if the avera ba'onus is not a full avera, or certainly it's an onish, but maybe it's not even a ma'is avera, nu. And what about a katan? Right?
Sorry?
What's your argument?
They're going to force him to be a
Avodah Zarah. That's not the person shouldn't do it. But the question is, can you be Mechalel Shabbos to save that person from doing it? Either way, they're going to do a bonus. They should give up their life.
He's going to do it. He's going to give up his life.
Who's going to give up his life? That's a different question. Well, that's because Nefesh, maybe. We're assuming for the moment they're not going to give up their life. The Lachain Ein Mechalel Shabbos Begina. Meaning, if it's Chil Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, they're going to sue me, they're going to do it. You don't do Chil Shabbos to save them from Avodah Zarah, Ba'ones. Tafilu, Takanza Drabanala, Krina Mekame Ones, Kedisa Bereish Ksuvis, Ad Kalashana. I'm sorry?
If you're over on the haram for the rabbi, what's the onus?
So this is a big debate.
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, excellent. So the mainstream Rishonim Paskin that we still apply on an onus level, onus rachmana patri, when you're potter. There are exceptions. The Ramach, the Urayim, Rab David Bonfil, they all felt that you're chayv misa. But the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, most Rishonim, Balitosis, the Ramban, most Rishonim think that even though you should have given up your life, we still apply the din of onus rachmana patri. So he's saying, So the Magen Avraham says, I don't like this svara because what do we say? When we were talking about the criteria when you say chate, when you don't, so we said, if he's posheya, why should we step in? Right? If it's not his fault, we dafka do step in. Meaning, we're not only concerned about A, the onesh, right? And even if the Avera is done, you know, Shalok Birisono, it's still an Avera, perhaps. Kamoshalamadum Shem Matosas. Velodami Lahadarminan Biksubis Ainsham, Vadavar Barur, and so on. Miu Hilabask Tanot, line 29. Sorachinum Yasa Hagodal Chait Bishvil Katan, the Inutsuvila Frisha Ain Simon Shin Mem Gimel. Again, is the issue, right, to zero in technically and formally on weighing, you know, my Avera versus the Avera that I'm saving from, and then all sorts of extraneous or extenuating, you know, conditions will be a reason not to violate? Or are we looking at it more, right, well, you know, whatever it is, technically, the implication, the consequences of Shmad, in terms of the future, are still devastating, right? Odilma midi dehave apikoch nefesh shemchalin ala katan, right? The omrim chalel ala Shabbos echa kadesh yishma Shabbos es harbe hachanami chain. Meaning, maybe it is. He's going back, interestingly, to the Rajba's suffek. That maybe it's a kind of suffek pikoch nefesh, right? Or, you know, at least the Mais Avera is still the Mais Avera when it comes to Avodah Zarah, just like there's Yehari Gval Yabar, and so on, we just treat it differently. But Tzorchim, Bagos Harif Perik Adalid, the Shabbos, Chilik Ben Hecha Shigab, who's Oka the Mitzvah, Lachain Kosov Arajba, Filo Yachid Layasa, Yisil Atal Tzibur, Awakol Aposkim Chokim Alav, etc. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is, if you look at the Poskim here, they have all sorts of interesting suggestions of how to fine-tune this halacha. It doesn't matter whether it's ones or mezid, in which direction, right, lakula or lachumra. It doesn't matter whether it's a malacha, whether it's a tkumin. Is this based on suffek, spiritual pikuach nefesh? Is it based on an application of chalal Shabbos achas shetishmar Shabbosos harbe? Do you apply that when it's some other reason, etc.? So, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't record the Magen Avraham, you know, fully, unfortunately. That's why it's always important that, you know, as much as the Mishnah Berurah became, you know, kind of the canonical, you know, text of our, of the last, you know, 40, 50 years, but, you know, the Mishnah Berurah is based on the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Gra, and it's important to see what they really write. You'll also appreciate, I've said this many times, you gain a much greater appreciation for what the Mishnah Berurah really did when you really understand the sources that he's drawing from. Or you can just, assess better what his contribution is. So it doesn't dilute it, it makes it better. Ironically, by making, you know, it's become such a canonical text and it's eclipsed so much the other Mefarshim, you know, which is kind of a complement to its authority, but in a way it undermines, an understanding of what the Chafetz Chaim really did. This is a great example of it, because you just don't get the full Magen Avraham here. But you do, once you read the Magen Avraham, understand what he's taking, what he's rejecting by implication. And he also adds, in the end, you know, when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, originally the Chafetz Chaim writes, you know, it's time for basically an update, or an upgrade. Said, you know, the Ber Hetev, you know, kind of wrote a summary of the Magen Avraham and the Taz, you know, to some extent, together with some of the contemporary poskim who got left out of the page in his time. And then you had, you know, the Shari Tshuva and so on. They said, and you know, it's time has gone by, and we have to upgrade it further. We have this Prima Godim and the Matzah Shekel and the Chayadam and the, you know. Bring so here
back,
too.
Bring back the Kitzes Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
That's what we used to learn in Shul.
Okay, that too. Ubelio Rabba, the last line, 41. Daita lahokel devlo yishtada lahatzila tishur gam kain begadlusa. The Elio Rabba has an important comment about the Ketana. Right? So, they bezin the Tzuvin Afrisho, so why should we get involved? Right? Why should we call Shabbos? But, you know, when once she's living in a non-Jewish environment and then she becomes a gedola, what are you going to say about that? Right? I'm saying that it's just a great topic. It's a window into many things, many issues, and it also is just a great example of the dynamic, you know, continuing discussion, you know, of the halakha and how, you know, how that enriches really the whole process. You know, it's we're not yet Erev Shavuos, but you know, it all started off with Gilui Shechina, Manyan Shmita Yisrael Har Sinai, but Yom Hashishi. But you really see how, you know, every day that goes by as the world continues, our new shilas and new perspectives, and that's why, you know, Mechadish B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'asa Breishis, and we're also Mechadish Choyom Tamid in the area of Talmud Torah. All right. Anyways, that's all that we're going to do on this topic. There's much more to talk about. You can just imagine, because it's, you know, it's this idea of Chayecha Kodmin versus Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. There's just much, much more. But the outlines, I think, at least are clear. Yeah.
Do we know what the facts were? What all the facts were in the Rosh Chodesh case?
What do you mean, all the facts?
In other words, well, maybe we're missing some nuances.
Well, I mean, he tells us the Rashba was a very professional. You know, the Rashba wrote more tshuvas than any. We have more tshuvas of the Rashba, I'll say, as far as I know. I think even more than the Baruch Rotenberg, than any other, of the Rishonim. The Rashba was a consummate professional. So not only in his, he doesn't need my haskama, but not only in his paskening, but in his, shelos and tshuvos. So I'm not saying that we couldn't always, sometimes, you know, there isn't something missing, but mostly it gives us the important facts. In this particular case, what do you think is missing?
I don't know, maybe that it wasn't necessarily the outcome. Maybe.
Well, he says it was.
What?
He said she was a little girl, and she was being kidnapped. Bechazka means our force. Well, what else do you want to know?
Sometimes, you know, things are, you know, things can be.
Right, but that's what I mean. I wasn't just trying to give the Rashba an empty compliment when I said he was the consummate professional. What I meant was, he wrote these tshuvas as precedents
to
teach. And, you know, and to record. So he presumably, I'm not saying he was infallible, you know, and sometimes he may have taken for granted our understanding, but mostly he provides us with the facts that are necessary. Here, one of the facts he felt that was necessary is that it was Bechazka. So we should always take it, if it's a tshuva and he wrote it quickly, or sometimes we only have a fragment of it, or whatever, that's a different story. But all things being equal, we shouldn't be reading his tshuvas and assuming that, you know, that they're misleading. We should be reading them and assuming that, you know, that as a consummate professional, he's given us whatever we need. Torah Hashem Tamim. Okay? Okay. So let's continue to the next Gemara. Sorry?
Kiddush Hashem.
It doesn't seem from the poskim here that it is. She is, but they're assuming for the moment that she's either not going to meet the bill. No one is saying, oh, save her because she's going to give up her life on Kiddush Hashem. So, you know, it's Pikuach Nefesh. And that, unless you think, you thought that that's what the Rashba meant. I don't think that's what he means. I think he means spiritual Pikuach Nefesh.
I meant that they're going to kill her, but maybe.
Or they're going to kill her, or she's going to kill herself.
She's going to,
let herself be killed. Yeah. No, I'm saying, I understand, that's how you were reading it. I didn't read it that way. If you read it that way, then they're relating to it. But he's saying a davar tzarich talmud, that it's a safek. I'm reading it more that it's spiritual. The question is whether it's spiritual pikuach nefesh. But you see this one tshuvas harashba and the how it comes from the balitosis and what it generated is just an olam malay. Okay, and let's continue the gemara. So the next gemara speaks about another important issue in our parak in the requirements of otzah, and that is the requirement of dalet al dalet. We know you need an akira. We've talked about that, and a hanacha, right? What we haven't discussed till now is that the akira and the hanacha presumably have to be mimakom dalet al dalet, right? Four tvachim by four tvachim is where it has to come from and where it has to end up. Okay. And the question is, what is that halacha based on? Where does that come from? How do we know that and what is it? B, how does that square, this is what the Gemara is about to ask, with the first Mishnah? Because the Mishnah seems to be speaking about putting things in people's hands, and people's hands typically are not dalid, al dalid. So the Mishnah already seems to be precluding this basic requirement that we know of. Okay, so that I'm going to run through the Gemara, and then we'll break it down going forward. So the Gemara says, Pasha to Aniyas Yado. Amai Chayiv. Why, when you put the object in the hand of either the Ani or the Balabayas, or you take it from the hand of the Ani or the Balabayas, why you Chayiv? Habi'inan Akira Vahanacha, Mial Gabi Makom Dalad Al Dalad. You need that the Akira and the Hanacha should both be from a place which is Dalad Al Dalad. Now again, why, what? We'll discuss. First, I want to go through the Shakamataria, the Leka, and that's lacking in the case of Yad. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Hamani, I'm just going to go through a big chunk of Gemara first, and then we'll break it down afterwards. Hamani Rabbi Akiva. Maybe the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean? Who's Rabbi Akiva? And what does his authorship have to do with it? The answer is, Amar Lobina and Makom Dalad Al Dalad. Apparently, this is what the Gemara thinks, Rabbi Akiva does not require dalad al dalad in, at least in Hanacha, as we'll see, in Hotzah. How do we know that? It's not. There's a Mishnah later on in Hazorik. Hazorik Mishus HaYachid, Lushus HaYachid, Mishus HaRabim Be'emtza. Person throws from one Mishus HaYachid to another Mishus HaYachid, and it traverses a Mishus HaRabim in between, right? But it doesn't stop there. He throws it. Right? It's flying through, it goes from one Rishus HaYachid to the other, flying through the Rishus HaRabim in between. Rabbi Akiva Mechayiv, the Chachamim, Potrim. Okay, Rabbi Akiva says that in that condition, Chayiv, and the Chachamim say it's Potter. Now why the Chacham say it's Potter, we totally understand, because the Akira was Rishus HaYachid, the Hanacha was Rishus HaYachid, right? So, since that's the case, it's Mishus HaYachid, Mishus HaYachid shouldn't be Chayiv, one would think. Why does Rabbi Akiva think you're Chayiv? The answer is, says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Savar, we'll have to discuss this, Arminon, Kluta Kemisha Hundka Damya, when something is in the airspace, flying through the airspace, it's as if it is Munach Bakarka. Rabbanon Savari, Larminon, Kluta Kemisha Hundka Damya. So basically, what the Gemara thinks, certainly at this point, is that if you hold Kluta Kemisha Hundka Damya, you cannot be somebody who requires Dalad al Dalad for Akira, or for Hanacha at least, to be Chayiv. Right? Because when something is flying, what happens? You throw it, your Oker at Rishus HaYachid, right? And then it ends up really physically landing and in the other Rishus HaYachid. But by virtue of the fact that it traverses Rishus HaRabim in between, and it's in the airspace in Rishus HaRabim, even though it's physically never at rest, that's considered a Hanacha. Right? But it's flying through the air. Where's the Dalad al Dalad? So apparently Rabbi Akiva does not require Dalad al Dalad. That's what the Gemara thinks. Now, doesn't Gemara ever change its mind about that? Not clear. The Yerushalmi happens to have a line, I'll tell you why I'm saying it, and it's relevant to other things. The Yerushalmi, when he's trying to explain Kluta Kemisha and Chadamya, uses very graphic terminology. Okay? In the sense that It's almost like, you know, we literally view it as if it's like, you know, on the ground when it's in the air. It's like dragging on the ground even as it's flying through the air. So do they mean ad kedei kach that Rabbi Akiva will say this is the equivalent of dalet al dalet? Because in the air we always view it as if it's dragging on the ground. The ground is dalet al dalet. Hard to say. The Rishami never says what the Bavli says right here, which is that Rabbi Akiva's view of kluta is inconsistent with the notion of dalet al dalet. I'm not sure. Either way, the maskana, the Gemara doesn't have to say this because the Gemara is going to answer the Mishnah in a different way. So could we be open to the possibility that a certain view of Rabbi Akiva's kluta, right, is that it is dalet al dalet rather than you don't need dalet al dalet? That's the question I'm raising now, and maybe we'll get back to it. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Lememra, the Pshitule Laraba, the Bekluta Kavishun Chadamya. It sounds like the assumption being made here that the argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is an argument about Kluta Kavishun Chadamya. And that the argument is where the object was thrown, right, within 10 tfachim of the ground. So as you threw the object, in Rosh HaYachid, it went through the Rosh HaRabim within 10 tfachim of the ground. So it's really in Rosh HaRabim. Rosh HaRabim goes up to 10 tfachim, right? And then it went into Rosh HaYachid. So the argument is, we're talking about Toch Asara, and the argument is Kluta or not. But that isn't so simple, because later on in Hazorik, when discussing this Mishnah, the Gemara is mistapik what the argument is. V'hami boi, boi le l'rabba, the boi, rabba, l'mata miyud pligi, u'baha pligi, d'rabi kiva savar kluta k'mishun chadami, rabbanan savar l'armin and kluta k'mishun chadami, ava l'mala mi'asara divrei hakol patur, u'du kulama lo yalfinan zorek mimoshit. Do we say what we just said now, which is that the argument of Rabbi Akiva the Chacham is about kluta in a case where they throw it under 10, but even Rabbi Akiva would agree that if the throwing was lamala me'asara, right, then above 10 tvachim, which is a makom p'tur, there certainly would be no chiyuv, because even though moshit, which is handing over, right, from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaYachid, the derech Rosh HaRabim, b'dyuta achas, or b'shtei dyutas, I should say, meaning not straight ahead, but across the Rosh HaRabim, even though that Yechayiv, even Lamala Me'asara, because that's what they did in the Agalos of the Mishkan, that's true in Moshe, but we don't learn Zorek from Moshe. So Zorek has the rule that under 10 Tvachim only can there be a Chiyuv, right, of Rosh HaRabim. Odilmar, perhaps, Lamala Me'asara Pligi. Maybe they argue above 10 Tvachim, namely, Ubaha Pligi. Rabbi Kiva Savri Alpinon Zorek Mi Moshit. Rabbi Kiva says just like Moshit Lamala Me'asara Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid Derech Rishus HaRabim is Chayiv Huadin Zorek Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid Derech Rishus HaRabim Lamala Me'asara Rabbanan Savri Lo Yalpinon Zorek Mi Moshit. And therefore, since it's higher than, we're talking about higher than 10, you're Patur Avalamata Miyud. But if we're talking about throwing the object under the threshold of 10 tzvachim in Rosh HaRabim, then divrei hakol chayev maitam arminim kluta k'mishun chadami. The chacham also agrees with kluta, but then the chachamim would also have to reject dalet on dalet, right? Okay. So the Gemara says halo kash, no question, not a problem. It's true that the Gemara in Azorek has two possible ways to read the Mishnah, but basud diboy hantar ifshitalei. Once they raised this question, and then they came to a conclusion. And the conclusion they came to was the Savar of Ikiva Kluta Kamishon Kadami, right? And the Chachamim disagree. But Lamala Me'asara, everybody will agree that Zorek is not learned out of Moshit, and that Zorek is therefore going to be Patur, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so far so good. So what do we have so far? We have the Gemara's question, what happened to Dalet al Dalet? How can Yad work in the Mishnah? So far we have the Gemara's answer. The Mishnah is Aliva Rabbi Akiva. He holds Kluta Kamishon Chadami. Flying through the air is considered Munach. Flying through the air is only somebody who doesn't believe in Dalet al Dalet. Oh. So then the Gemara says, V'dilma Hanacha Hudala Boy, Ha'akira Boy. How do you know that we can't make a distinction. Till now, we have a united front. We're talking about whether the requirement of Dalet al Dalet, and we're considering, you know, Akira and Anacha to be equivalent. You have to be Oker from a Dalet al Dalet, and you have to be Meniach to a Dalet al Dalet. But maybe, and therefore bring a Raya from Rabbi Akiva, right? But the truth is, the Raya from Rabbi Akiva isn't such a strong Raya for both. Maybe all you can prove from Rabbi Akiva is that Hanacha doesn't require Dalet al Dalet. But maybe Akira requires Mimakum Dalet al Dalet. Right? That's what the Gemara is asking. Now this, of course, is very fascinating. Earlier, when the Bali Tosas, when the Gemara wanted to know, going Gimel Amin Aleph asked the question whether Akira Skufos Ka Akira Schefetz Dami or not. If you start walking with an object, somebody loads an object onto you, and you start walking from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and then you stop, is Akira Skufo and Hanacha Skufo Ka Akira Schefetz and Hanacha Schefetz or not? That's the Gemara's question. But the Gemara asks the question whether Akira Skufo is Ka Akira Schefetz or not. So Bali tells us to say, the Huadin Hanacha Skufo Ka Hanacha Schefetz. Whatever you're going to say about one, you're going to say about the other. And the Tos Yishanim on that Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara's mistopic is about Akira. But about Hanacha, they for sure think that Hanacha Skufo is Hanacha. So Tosfos Shonim says, after all, look at the Gemara later on. When the Gemara is trying to figure out whether you need Dalet al Dalet, the Gemara says, well, maybe only Akira needs Dalet al Dalet, not Hanacha. So we see that you can distinguish between Akira and Hanacha. If you can distinguish regarding Dalet al Dalet, maybe you could also distinguish regarding the issue of Akiras and Hanachas Gufo. Okay? So this is part of the question that we've dealt with before. What is the relationship between Akira and Hanacha? Both in terms of the role that they play in Melachas Hotzah. Are they equal? Are they two halves? Right? Is one more dominant? In which case, which one? As well as just the difference between Kumbase and Sheval Tasa, or Tchila and Sof. Right? The Akira is certainly more of a Kumbase, and it's certainly Tchila. Right? So these distinctions, various distinctions, are all relevant to trying to figure out whether we can distinguish. Okay. Then the Gemara says, you're right, we don't know that in the Mishnah we know that Yad is being used for Akira and for Hanacha, so maybe it's not Rabbi Akiva. So we need another Mandamar. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav Yosef Amani Rebbi. Maybe the Mandamar is Rebbi. Hey Rebbi, who's Rebbi? That's which Rebbe, which Mandam, which Brisa. Ilei Maha Rebbe D'Tanya, the following Rebbe. Zarak V'Nachal Gabi Zizkal Shehu. He threw an object, right, and it landed on a Ziz Kol Shehu, a stick of some sort. That is not Dalet al Dalet. Okay. So, Rebbe Mechayev V'Chachomim Potcher. Seems like Rebbe doesn't require Dalet al Dalet because this stick is not Dalet al Dalet that it lands on. So the Gemara says, Hasam, and that's about Hanacha, right? Not just Akira. So the Gemara says, Hasam, could buy the Mamela Kaman, could I buy ya? Maybe the case isn't the case that you think of. It's the following case. Damabaya Haka Be'ilan Ha'omed Breshus HaYachid, the Nofo, no teller Shus HaRabim. You have a tree where the roots are in Rishus HaYachid, and then one of the branches extends to Rishus HaRabim, the Zarak Menach Hanofo, and you threw it, and it landed on the branch. Rabbi Sabar, Aminan Shadi Nofo Basari Ikaro. Rabbanan Sabri, Lo Aminan Shadi Nofo Basari Ikaro. Here's the big machokas we've shown him. I'll just interpret for the moment, because we're going to stop in 30 seconds, like Rashi. Rashi says that we're talking here about the issue of Dalet al Dalet. Meaning the Ikar has Dalet al Dalet and the Nof does not. The branch does not. Right? But if you hold Shadi, Nofo, Basar, Ikaro, so the Dalet al Dalet, you know, of the Ikar, right, works for the Nof as well. That's not how Tosus reads the Gemara. Tosus says no. The question is, are you throwing this object to Rishus HaYachid, which is the Ikar, or to Rishus HaRabim, which is the vicinity of the Nof? And that's really what's going on. Okay, we'll continue next time. We're trying so far to find a Mandamar who doesn't believe in Dalet al Dalet, but you'll see Agav, there can be some other important issues that come up, and we'll
discuss.